Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Let me tell you that I love you, and I think about you all the time. Can adore me. Here we are, the fucking Snowcast, with a little mini-series we're going to do for the month of November that we're calling the Candemic. Everybody, like the whole world over, knows now about the pandemic. And we've had 7 months now at this stage where basically the pubs have been all but closed in Ireland for the 7 months. So we're fed up with talking about the pandemic. We're fed up of talking about the lack of availability of pubs. So do you know what we're going to do for the month of November, which is typically a misery month in Ireland? The month of November, we're going to turn it into a celebration of cans, a celebration of breweries, and a celebration of the 32 counties of Ireland. So we're coming up with the Candemic on. It's going to be me and you for the month. Just the two of us, 4 cans each, 4 weeks. That's 8 cans a week. That's 32 cans in total, 32 counties in Ireland. We're going to fucking drive this home.
This is the Snowcast's greatest idea ever. Oh my God. Like, honestly, yes. God, this is. Yes, yes. Yes. This is pure escapism, like, to the core. Like, we're in the middle of the pandemic, as you said. There's a US election that's going on that's driving people to the walls. There's pure misery, dark evenings coming along. But we're embracing it. We're coming along and we're drinking a can. Well, we have to clarify. They're not specifically cans. We're having a drink from every county in Ireland. But like drinkademic wasn't as catchy as candemic, though. So.
I have a good one for you with the US election.
Go on.
We can't go to the bar at Obama. So instead we're voting for Bernie Sanders.
Lovely.
And everyone just shut off the episode there. Like, we know more listeners.
Yeah. We'll just be looking at the analytics now, like later on, and just be like, and 30 seconds into the episode, everybody was gone. Oh my God. But yeah. Oh, so excited about this. Yeah, this has been something that's kind of been like tipping along by us for the last while. Been like, oh, what can we do? Trying to think of like things just to liven up ourselves more so than anything else. And yeah, this is a genius idea. And we've had like some great recon that's been going on, going to offies and going online using like Beer Cloud and a few other things. We actually haven't sourced all of our 32 cans yet. Having a few little, I wouldn't say problems, but a few little boundaries that we have to kind of boundary that we need to pass. So it's pretty cool. I'm really enjoying it like so far. it's such a giddy experience of like going into the offload system and being like, right, where is it? Like turning around every single can in the place. I mean, like, where is this from? And then at the pure and utter disappointment then when you find out it's from like Suffolk or somewhere.
Yeah. The fucking Brits, man. There's a heap of Brit cans around that we just never noticed. But do you know what as well? Like I got so much satisfaction today out of like, we like for people, a bit of behind the scenes here, like we literally printed out a map of Ireland with the empty counties, with like just a blank map with just the county borders on it. And we were writing in breweries that we thought we might include, or because it's only one can per county. And obviously, like, you know, there's a heap of independent breweries in Cork. There's a heap of independent breweries in Dublin and Kildare. There's some counties where there's a dense population of really, really good breweries. So obviously we were like, you know, trying to think of ones that we would use for each county. But then there's some counties where you're just like, right, fuck, are there any breweries there? And like, we had a moment today in Arkeen stores. Like we went to three different off licenses today, just on a bit of reconnaissance, because we knew like the first two, three weeks of this, like we would be sorted. It wouldn't be challenging, and we'd leave the most difficult, awkward, cumbersome counties to source independent craft beer from to last. And then today we found this random bottle that I think you're going to talk about later on from County Loud, which we were like, fuck, where are we going to find County Loud? Like and it's this kind of thing where we're down here in the southeast, and like you say, you're in Kildare for the last 10 months or whatever, and like it's like independent brewery, the access to them can be so localized, or yeah, totally, purely dependent on what distributor your local off licenses use, or what reps your local publican gets on with. So it's been this challenge for us to try and find like, what breweries are there in County Tyrone, and how the fuck do we get them in Waterford? Or, you know, like basically, right, you know, we are going into off licenses saying, right, this is the brewery we've picked for Kerry. And then we go in and find a fucking gem from somewhere else, and we're like, I'm going to try this. And it turns out to be the greatest golden ale you've ever thought of. But I'll talk about that later on. But it's just been this wonderful journey so far. And look, I will say this before we crack into the breweries, before we crack into the beers, and before we crack into the counties we're going to talk about tonight in the first episode of this little mini series. On social media, please get in touch at Snowcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If there are breweries that you know of, if you know where we can source them, if you know we can order them online here, or fuck it, if you're a brewer and you're from County fucking Tyrone, or if you're from County Fermanagh and you're brewing something in your gaff, like DM us and we'll tell you where to send the fucking beer, and it'll be our Fermanagh beer. The other thing to highlight before we crack on any further is, we have not been able to find any active breweries in County Armagh or County Cavan. So we've come up with a solution.
Yes.
For County Cavan, it's fairly simple. We have nominated Ballykilcavan as Cavan Brewery.
It was the obvious choice. It was the obvious choice.
I mean, to be honest with you, if we didn't do that and someone pointed it out to us, I think we'd just quit there and then and just never record a podcast again or drink another beer. But we've nominated Ballykilcavan to represent Cavan, the great county of Christy Moore, not the singer, but our friend Christy. And then Armagh. So what we're going to do with County Armagh is we're basically going to do a Twitter poll of breweries that are not going to be featured based on their own county, not because we don't like them, but just because for convenience or whatever. It's actually pretty much so far been convenience. Oh, look, this can is here and it's from this county, so we'll use that. So we're going to put up a couple of breweries on a Twitter poll, and we're going to say which brewery will have the honor of representing the Orchard County. Actually, the Orchard County is Armagh. We should do a cider from Armagh because it's the Orchard County.
That's a good shout, actually, yeah. How come they don't have a cider? They have a cider.
I'd say the whole county, just when you turn on a tap in Armagh, it just pours out cider. They wash their clothes in cider. So we're going to put up a bunch of cider makers, and you can vote away for which one will represent Armagh in the pandemic, the Snowcast pandemic of 2020.
Love it. That's, yeah. So I suppose what are we drinking tonight is we're drinking all of these, and that's pretty much just going to be the content of the whole episode is what these four cans that we're each drinking.
And before you drive on, just to point out, like, something that gave us both a giggle during the week was we put up this thing about the pandemic on Twitter during the week, and we asked for recommendations of breweries, and people were replying with breweries, and other people were responding to that saying, I know that they only come in bottles. Like, lads, we are calling this the pandemic, but we are more than happy to drink out of bottles. We'll drink out of fucking welly boots if we have to. Yeah, when you're bringing on your suggestions, don't be worried if it's a bottle, because we're not that arsed.
Oh, definitely not. So, right, do you want to kick it off, Kid?
Yeah, fuck it. Right, I'm going to talk about, the whole episode might be taken up by this because I'm so happy and excited about this beer and this brewery and just this fucking region of the country because it's brilliant. So I'm going to talk about a beer called Béal Bán. As it says on the label itself, Beor Corcoraina, it's a beer from Corcoraina, the Gaeltacht in West Kerry, from the West Kerry Brewing Company, and it's brewed down there in Ballyach an Éireadh, or Ballyferriter, as people might know it by its anglicised name. Long-term listeners of Snowcast will know of my absolute affinity and love for the Irish language, and yours as well, Owen. Like, we are big lovers of the Irish language here, and by default, we just adore the Gaeltachts, the Irish-speaking regions of Ireland. So to be able to get a beer from the Gaeltacht region, to be able to buy it in an off-license, in Worldwide Wines, in during a pandemic, is just an absolute tribute to the brewers, to the distributors, and to the off-licenses for stocking them to begin with. Now, there's a bit of story about how we found this beer first. So we went into Worldwide Wines, and we were looking at the plinth, the much celebrated plinth of Worldwide Wines. And the plinth is in the back right of the off-license. And there's like a shelf before that actually has, on the top of that plinth, there's like Sierra Nevada and a few American breweries and a few English breweries. So we never kind of went there to look for beers during the last couple of months. And we were kind of just looking around and nosing around. The next thing, we just kind of spotted on a shelf down low these couple of different beers, so we had a look, and we came across like this bottle. The bottles are incredible because they're the old amber style bottles, and they've got these real old school, almost like fucking early 20th century labeling.
Real fat arse on them, isn't there? Like,
yeah, like it's a real old school bottle, it's old school style of bottle, it's an old school label, and it just kind of straight away you're like nostalgic. You're drawn into these fucking, just this historic setting when you look at the bottle. It really does set the scene. And I just, this Béal Bán stood out to me as a beer that I really wanted to drink. So I actually bought two bottles of it. It's a golden ale, 5%. And just pouring it out is a joy. Because you see, like, when you pour it, it's a gold ale. It's a deep gold, like, it's a really fucking, I put a picture of it up on the Instagram story and on our Twitter page there this evening, and it's fucking glorious looking. Like, it's a beautiful beer when you pour it out, a proper gold ale. Like, I spent a good bit of time in Belgium drinking like real good like world famous gold ales, and this rivals any of them. If there's one word I'd use to describe it, it's the Irish word gloucha. This drink, Tom Bure show fucking gloucha or fad. It's fucking delicious. It's so good. It's an incredible beer. Like, it's so crisp and fresh, and like, use your own well water apparently brewing it, and it's really feels like it's a really simple recipe. And you know that wanky wine phrase terroir, where like they talk about different fields and different different soil will give a different taste to a beer. It has that pure, raw, natural, fucking real, what's the word I'm looking for? The fucking, the terroir does sum it up. Like, you can nearly taste the fucking malt and barley from it. It's fucking incredible. And I could, like, Jesus, I love it. And I actually, I love it so much that I've come up with a new word for the, in the Irish language, for whoever came up with this, or for beer enthusiasts who will love this beer. So I have a new word in the Irish language for beer enthusiasts. So the Irish word for beer is bure.
Yep.
So we, anyone who likes this beer is now a bureador.
Oh!
Bureador. So like for people who don't speak.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So for people who don't.
And the fucking dictionary is only printed there the other day.
I know. It probably is in it, and I probably haven't made this up. But like a shopador is a shopkeeper, for example. Like a fuador is a butcher.
Shodor, isn't it? Isn't that a jeweler? What's a shodor? Is that a jeweler?
Yeah. So like basically something ador is a person involved, like a person who is associated with this thing. So
he's passionate about that thing. Okay.
Absolutely. Bail bon os cochagwina, bior cochagwina. And if you drink that, you're officially a bioridor.
Oh my God.
I feel like Hector on TV Card.
I know. Yeah. Fuck, man. That little description there is giving me shivers. I want that so much. It sounds amazing. And what's the taste, is it the mouthfeel, what's the number one, like what's the standout thing, what makes that different now than any other beer?
So it's the entire drinking experience. It's not just the taste and the mouthfeel and when it goes into your body. It's for me like every step from when you see the bottle and what the bottle represents, and it's when you read the label and the label is like, you know, this is from Ballyanaertig in West Kerry, in one of the Gaeltacht regions. You know, the Irish language is a minority language in its own country, and it's this real old school retrograde bottling. And then when you pour it, like golden ales are not sexy.
No.
You know, you've got all these, and we're going to talk about some of them throughout this month. You've got these like American pale ales, East Coast, West Coast IPAs. You've got these fancy beer techniques. Golden Ale is a classic. It's not sexy. It's not new age. It's a classic. So it is that retrograde. And then it's just so pure. It's almost like so simple. It's one of those simple pleasures drinking this beer. And it is literally that, like Kerry is this, Kerry as a county, as a region, is just this, they call it, we in Ireland, it's known as the kingdom. And it is like, you know, just this amazing, incredibly beautiful landscape. The people are hilarious. Like, you know, you talk to Kerry people, if you ask a Kerry person a question, they'll answer you with another question. It's this real, I'm not going to use the phrase backwards, like my grandfather is a Kerry man and I adore him. And like, it's this incredible part of the world. And for me, it's just like, it is Kerry in a glass when you pour it out. Like it is that cute whoreism. It is that simplicity. It is that very laid back kind of
storyteller, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Oh, storyteller. It's a Shana Key of a beer.
Exactly.
And like, I was drinking it thinking, So like we're doing four beers each. We can't drink the four of them while we're recording. So I had that an hour ago and I was so fucking nostalgic drinking it. I was drinking it thinking, you know, like with in Kerry, when you go to Killarney, there's Tork Waterfall, you can climb Tork Waterfall, you're nearly at the spring in the mountain and you can like drink the water straight from it and it's so crystal clear and pure. Like it was almost like the spring of Tork Waterfall was just spitting out beer and I was drinking that.
Wow. That's amazing. So I suppose another part that we're kind of adding to this beer tasting thing is that I want a little story from each county or a little fact that you might have. So what do you have there from Kerry?
So actually I was thinking about this and I was saying, where will I go with Kerry? And I've talked a bit about Killarney and waterfalls and stuff like that and the scenery, but, for me, something that sticks out with Kerry are the islands. Like the islands with Kerry are a big thing. And you know, we spoke about, again, and this is linked link it back into the brewery again, which is based in the Gaeltacht. The Irish language, an awful lot of the decline in the Irish language, wrongly in my opinion, is attributed to Peg Sears, who was a woman who lived an awful lot of her life on the Blasket Islands. So the islands are synonymous with Kerry, and I just wanted to tell a little story about, I just want to talk about the islands a little bit, because the islands off the coast of Kerry became ridiculously famous over the last couple of years for their scenery and their beauty, because the Skellig Islands, and Skellig Vihil in particular, Michael Skellig, featured in Star Wars films. It was where the puffins do nest there, and then like an awful lot of puffins nest there. And then if you remember when Obi-Wan Kenobi was in retreat on this island, that's where that was on Skellig Vihil, where all that was filmed. And
it was Luke Skywalker.
So
that we're not getting a load of hate mail.
yeah. But Luke Skywalker was chilling on Skellig Vihil, and even like they used the island houses as like they didn't even do that much to them, you know. The old school architecture and everything was perfect for what they wanted, and they also based the like fictional birds were based on the puffins and their habits as well. It was just really, really cool. And I do associate the islands. I bought, and it reminds me of a present I bought my grandfather once as well, who's from Kerry and like hasn't lived in Kerry since he was 17 and went off to become a guard and still has a Kerry accent. Something I once bought Grandad, who's a very difficult man to buy for because he's no mass on materialistic items. I once bought him a present for Christmas of a book that was the last king of the Blaskets. And it was a book on the islanders used to elect kings. It was just a book on the last king of the Blasket Islands, and he really appreciated it. So like the islander way of life off the coast of Kerry was like up until like less than a century ago was completely different to the mainland even, you know, and it was an alien world, and it was a harsh winter and a glorious summer. And it's just a fucking cool part of the world, man. I just have so much love for that part of the world.
Yeah. It's definitely a place I know, like when I was growing up, like it's always a place that you go to. It's kind of be like the automatic holiday destination for us. Like, it was there and West Cork, and it's also because the roads in Ireland were so bad that you couldn't get anywhere else. Like, but not saying that the roads in Kerry are great either. But such a savage spot, and like I had like actually one of my only holidays this year has been down to Dingle as well. Like, and it's just such a reprieve, such a break. Like, it's somewhere you can just automatically relax. And as you said, like that kind of storytelling tradition, and you know, it just feels like a different place altogether.
There's a lovely slower pace of life there, like.
Yeah, definitely.
So Owen, coming back to yourself then, what's your first featured beer of the Candemic series?
So I'm about four drinks in here. So I think I'll go back to the start. I think I'll go back to what I had. So I was having dinner with Kira earlier on, so we said we'd split this Beacon batches. It's from County Louth, and it is a ginger and lime natural honey refresher. So this was one that we spotted in Arkeen Stores earlier on, and it was one that we weren't expecting to find, and you just put your paw on it and kind of felt, you were like, it's loud, pick it up, let's get it and go. But yeah, like as soon as you picked it up, I was like, oh, I know Kira loved that. Like that's right up her alley now, that ginger beer. And we had it with dinner earlier on, and it was like not, so it's 5% and it didn't taste like alcohol at all. It was really, really refreshing, really nice. Really kind of nice, like, you know, there's a lot of kind of like ginger beers out there, but this had that kind of like nice, like acidic taste with the lime as well in it. And it had like, I'm not sure if there's like even honey in this, but like it did have that kind of like honey like feel as well. Like, you know, it was like, so, but yeah, it was really nice. Also another shout out, like, as you were saying with your bottle. So your bottle is that kind of real old school bottle. Whereas this bottle, so the neck of it, from the top of the bottle to the neck of the bottle is twisted. The glass is twisted and it's twisted in the shape of a beehive, which I thought was really cool. Like,
ah, cool.
Yeah. I can't really see it, but yeah, it was absolutely ideal for the two of us. Like, just we could have had one each, but yeah, it was so nice and refreshing and like really, really like good pairing with dinner. So yeah, it's definitely one of those ones. Like it's one of those drinks as well that if they brought out a non-alcoholic version of it, you drink it in a pub, you know, as a non-alcoholic drink as well. It was that like lovely taste, you know. It's kind of like, I went out for drinks with you there a while ago and I got was it the Hollows and Fentiman? They do like an alcoholic ginger beer, and then they do like just a ginger beer on its own, non-alcoholic ginger beer. And like the taste between them is minuscule, like, so you can definitely just like tip into that. But yeah, really enjoyed it for just how like light and refreshing it was. So yeah, it's a good one that appealed to a lot of people, I'd say.
Amazing. And I suppose like the last thing we expected when we were thinking up of the Candemic series was that we'd end up, like we were saying, like it is port and stout, and stout season now. And we were saying like we'll end up with a heap of stouts and porters, and like, you know, my first beer is a golden ale and your first one is like an alcoholic ginger beer. Like, and that's something that has stuck out to me, is like the variety, like as much as we know that there is great variety out there because we are interested and invested in independent craft brewing in Ireland. Like, how struck were you at the quality of like a ginger, an alcoholic ginger beer from County Louth that we neither of us had ever heard of before today at lunchtime?
Yeah, and like definitely struck with it, and even like having read a little into that kind of Beacon Batches brewery place, that they're saying like everything is natural in it, like, so it's like all the honey is like naturally infused with like fresh ginger and lime, and that they're saying that like because of that, like no two batches will taste the same, because it's just, you know, so fresh. It's going to be like a different, obviously, honey variety, different bees, different everything, like from year in, year out, like, so you're going to have, so it's that attention to detail, it's that freshness, it's, you know, it's probably like the things that these small, you know, kind of farm-based breweries that are able to do and want to do because they're so passionate about like the ingredients that they already have there. It's not as if they're buying in honey or they're buying in these other ingredients. Like their core ingredients are made there on the farm or whatever. So I thought that was really cool. Like,
it's almost like me shouting on about that terroir aspect of the Bail Bond earlier. Like, you know, it is that kind of batch variability depending on the time of the year, the place and all that kind of stuff. And then in terms of County Louth, then have you any gems for us from the location or any random County Louth bits?
I was doing a bit of research. It's actually pretty cool, like going, like doing a little bit of research, but what I found out was that Oliver Plunkett's head is in a glass case in Drogheda. So in St. Peter's Church on West Street, they have his Oliver Plunkett's human head is in a glass case on display. And that, so basically Oliver Plunkett, for the people who didn't know, was, I think he was like Archbishop of Ireland or something. But he was like killed by kind of Cromwellian forces due to the like banning of Catholicism due to the papal laws and stuff. And he was hung, drawn, and quartered in 1681, and his head has been in Drogheda since 1921. And he, another fact I found out about Plunkett was that he was the first new Irish saint in over 700 years. So, yeah, that was my little take on County Louth. I thought it was very interesting. Like, I kind of got myself into a bit of a Wikipedia hole, like, just kind of, like, going through it. Like, you know, I started off with, like, Oliver Plunkett, and then I was, like, looking then through, like, the Popish plot and, like, the Test Acts and all this kind of stuff. It was very, very, very interesting, like.
Oh, brilliant. I'm not going to lie. When we were talking about this and you ended up with the drink from County Louth, which, by the way, when we picked it out straight away, I was like, Owen's Kira will love this. I presume he's going to want this. And I was like, you want the ginger beer, I suppose. And we were trying to divide up the eight drinks for tonight between us. I'm not going to lie. I thought you were going to come out with some Gerry Adams related stuff, because, like, Gerry Adams was elected to Dáil Éireann in County Louth. I thought we were going to go down an IRA. Gerry Adams, fucking troubles. Loophole, but I suppose then, like, we don't want to bring the lawyers on us either, do we? Like,
I was going to go down that route, or also just talking about Carlingford as a stag and hen spot.
Hey, we got the shouts for them anyway. But I suppose kicking on from the Bail Bond, then I moved on to the drink, the brewery that we nominated from Waterford, and, like, you know what, we featured Metal Man on the podcast a good few times, and we featured Dungarvan Brewing Company and especially in some of the earlier episodes, you know, when we were kind of finding our feet in the craft beer world, and we were very keen to try out Waterford beers. So, like, basically in March, just as the virus took a grip in Ireland, a new brewery cropped up in Waterford, the Crafty Hopster. And I think I've alluded to it once or twice in the podcast in the past. And I think you might have been drinking the cans one night, Owen, were you? There were four for 10 in our
store. 4 for 10, yeah.
But the Crafty Hopster brewing, I think, obviously, given the circumstance upon opening, the only drink that the Crafty Hopster has out there at the moment is this drink, which is the All Hail Pale Ale, 4%. 4% pale ale that is absolutely banging with hops, citrus aromas, juicy flavors. It's a lovely balanced pale ale. I think it's like, you know, you can't go wrong with a pale ale. Like, for an independent brewer, a good decent pale ale is what keeps the lights on and the brewery going, really, to be honest, isn't it? Like, so it's a great thing to start off with for a new brewery. A new brewer, and it's lovely, a good decent bang of hops off it, kind of like an earthy kind of lovely initial real hoppy kick, and a nice little bitterness as well, like, I find. It's not just all hop for a pale ale. Really, really nice. And again, very fucking brave to set up a brewery in this current climate. And very, very happy to be drinking those cans, because, you know, it's brave, it's a local guy, putting his neck out there and chasing his fucking dream like so many other independent brewers do, and he's come up with a fucking banger, to be fair to him.
I tell you what, though, that little niche of those little, like, 330 mils and the, like, 4 for a tenner is, like, spot on, isn't it? Like, as in, yeah. Even there today when you were picking up the one can to taste for this, like, you know, and I was there, well, should we not just get the 4 anyway? Do you know what I mean? It's just a perfect like little amount to just, like, a tenner, just be like tipping away on those 4 little cans. Just I think it's perfect. Like, you can have, like, it's one of those ones that you can, like, pop out if you're having a meal or something, that you can just have with a meal, a little, you know, little kind of 330 mil can, just to have that. Like, I think I've said it before on this, but if I'm ever having, like, a curry or an Indian or anything, I have to have a beer with it. Like, It's just part and parcel with the whole thing. Like you can't experience one without the other. You know what I mean? And I think those are the perfect little combination that you can have with them. Like, but yeah, so brave. Fair play to, I actually can't remember what his name is. Niall or something? No, I'm
terrible with names. But I will say this as well, right? It's actually a beautiful can, and it's really well illustrated. Like, it's obviously All Hail Pale Ale, so it's like alluding to a deity, some sort of a god. And basically, it's like the heavens are opening in the can, and the sun rays are coming down, and people are coming to worship. And they've got all the people are wearing like clothes with hops on them, The artwork for the can was done by a local Waterford illustrator and a design guy called Lee Grace. So I think like everything about this can, from I think the ingredients in it, the brewing process, and even the illustration and design on the label is local, and that's great. So a really good beer, one that, like you said, 330 ml, really easy to drink, goes down really quick. The 4 for 10 will be a brilliant value. I'm not sure how long they'd last because you'd fucking skull them in a couple of subs. But I suppose then looking at the location of where it's from, Waterford, obviously this podcast is synonymous with Waterford because we are a Waterford-based podcast. We did like the vast majority of our podcasts have been recorded in Waterford pubs. Waterford beer has featured heavily on the podcast. So I suppose a bit of trivia about Waterford, some bit of background information. Waterford is the oldest city in Ireland, founded by the Vikings many, many moons ago. People will know, talking about ciders that we mentioned earlier, one of the most famous ciders in the world is Strongbow's. Actually, Strongbow himself raided Waterford. He took up residence in Reginald's Tower, which still stands to this day as well. So, like, Waterford is a real historic location. But I was trying to think of other stuff there. And there's a bit of controversy about Waterford at the moment. I don't know if you were reading the great local newspaper, the Waterford News and Star this week. But there was a bit of controversy over UCC, our alma mater, or old college, university. The Book of Lismore is being sent from... The Brits are returning it, but they're sending it to UCC. And UCC released a press release about this and said, finally, the Book of Lismore is returning home. And Waterford and Cork are border counties, and they do not get on with each other in a sporting sense. And UCC, the Cork University, University College Cork, stating that the Book of Lismore is a town in Waterford, the Book of Lismore returning home has apparently caused consternation in Lismore. Apparently, there is an absolute ruckus over this in Lismore. So there's a great bit of old school, like parish rivalry going on here where the folk of Lismore are fucking raging with University College Cork or Old College because they said the Book of Lismore is returning home.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant.
This historical document that's like fucking hundreds of years old. So I was saying like I could talk shit about Waterford all day, but I just thought that's a bit, it's both topical and historical at the same time.
That's amazing, yeah. I'd say that old hurling match last weekend added fuel to the fire as well.
Yeah, it's not often Waterford beat Cork, but they beat him last week. And they're salty in Cork about that, so they're throwing a few shades about the Book of Lismore.
They robbed the Book of Lismore in retaliation. Yeah. Fuck, that's quality, man. Yeah, love that. There's some nice little
story there.
Nice little facts. And
so, come here, Owen. What was up next for yourself there?
So, drink number two in my Candemic series was from a little old city called Belfast. And it was on the County Down side of Belfast. And it was from Boundary Brewing. And it was their classic American Pale Ale. And man, I actually really like this can. It was kind of like a touch little sweet. All right, I'll tell you a story about So last Friday I did the October monthly meetup with the craft beer community, with the box delivered from Beer Cloud, and they had like a mystery beer tasting thing in it. Four mystery cans were sent to us, and there was a bit of mystery kind of tasting where Brian revealed the identities of the four cans after he tasted them. I tell you what I learned from that. I cannot taste beer like other people can. Other people are fucking unbelievable. Like, they're there like calling the hops off the fucking beer. Like, they're like, oh, I can taste Strata. You know, there's a lovely honeydew flavor off this. You're like, what the fuck are you on about? Like, this is, I can get the notes, right? I can get sweet, I can get acidic, I can get bitter, you know, I can get these kind of things, like, you know.
Yeah, but that's because you have a tongue.
That's because I have a tongue, exactly. Parts of a tongue. But like, like some of the things, like there was one thing where they're saying what this tasted of, and I wrote in it tasted of Benson and Hedges, like, because it had a smoky flavor. But
it
like,
tasted like, it tastes like an Eddie Jordan Formula One car from the 1990s.
Yeah. But so anyway, going back to Boundary Brewing and this American Pale Ale that they have, I got hints of like marmalade off it, right? Now, I haven't looked it up or anything, so I don't know if that is right or wrong. But that's what I get off it altogether. And yeah, there was a little kind of sweet taste off it. But yeah, it was lovely. It wasn't overly sweet. But yeah, again, you can't say enough. I think we were saying it. I said it at that monthly meetup thing, that I asked the question to everybody who was there on the night, do you think that every brewery should have a core simple kind of bridging beer that will bridge the gap between the macro beer drinker and then the local independent beer drinker, something to bring them over so that they're not, their taste buds aren't exploded with like mad shite, like a tiramisu stout or something like that, you know. And everyone was saying, actually, yeah, like everyone probably every brewery should have like a, not maybe not every brewery, but like there should be the ones that are producing a quite a big range of beers should have a kind of few staple ones that are bridging beers between those kind of macro and micro breweries. So this is definitely one that you'd be like, you know, someone who would be drinking fucking Carlsberg or whatever, you'd throw them onto this and they'd be happy as Larry about the thing. But
No, I was going to say, in terms of what you're talking about taste-wise there, and you know, people able to pick out hops and stuff like that, like, I have found myself that, like, it's one of those things that I think you said something there that kind of hit me from one of the early craft beer community things where one of the brewers was saying, like, you know, at the end of the day, you taste what you taste. So, like, there's no wrong, like, if you say I get fucking hints of caramel off this, you're not wrong in saying that. Someone can't turn and say, what are you talking about? There's no hint of caramel. If it's what you fucking taste, it's what you taste. Yeah. Well, I think as well, like a lot of that comes with experience too, and it, being able to identify hops, like you need to be invested in trying to figure it out. But like you have then born yourself and it's kind of experience. And I think like an awful lot of when we taste beers, it's more like, what do you make of it? It's not, can you disseminate the ingredients and identify them? And I think sometimes it's like there definitely can be a snobbiness about it at times. But for me, drinking craft beer and independent craft beers is this a drink that I am appreciating and love? And then yeah, like it's cool when you guess the hops and you guess two out of five right or one out of three right. Like, and you're like, fucking hell, I can't believe I identified that, you know, like we're complete fucking novices. But yeah, but I think as well, Boundary, like they're a fucking top-notch brewery. Like I found a sneaky can there earlier of one of the Boundary stouts, and I was like, fuck, like that's going to be a gem now in a couple of weeks of a wintry night. But I've actually not had that American pale that you've had there now and described, but I do think you make an incredible point about the need for bridging beers and the need for beers that will get you from will get a non-independent craft beer drinker to someone who will be open up to different styles and different techniques and different beers. Like, that's really important.
Yeah. And actually, shout out to Boundary as well. I think that they're a co-op, aren't they? So you can kind of like invest in them, yeah, which is pretty cool. Owned by the people. A few little interesting facts about County Down. So I actually had a few kind of facts, like serious facts about Belfast lined up. And then I found this satirical website called theulsterfry.com. And so I'll just give you a few non-County Down related headlines that they have up at the moment of like drinking Jay's fluid cures coronavirus, claims Trump. Men given 3-week extension to keep DIY promises. Drug cartels move into hand gel market as prices soar. So yeah, I thought they were fucking phenomenal. So, but they have one article up called 8 Almost Interesting Facts About County Down. So if you look at County Down, it has like this kind of weird looking peninsula at the top, right? So one of the facts is on old maps of Ireland, the Ards Peninsula was called the Ards Penisula. Because it looked like a willy.
Do you think that's where the phrase peninsula comes from?
It must be. When the government changed it to the peninsula in the 1960s, the people of Ballywater rioted for 6 weeks.
Do you think that was called Ballypiss before the government intervened?
What?
Do you think that was called Ballypiss before the government intervened?
All right, I'll give you another one. So Down is the only county in Northern Ireland with nearly three cities, as it's parts of Belfast, parts of Lisburn, and all of Newry, apart from the wee bit in Armagh. Both Lisburn and Newry were made into cities in 2002 as part of the Queen's Golden Jubilee celebrations. When she got pissed and Prince Philip bet her she wouldn't do it.
Oh, stop. To be honest with you, that wouldn't surprise me.
No.
I'd say she's a devil for the gin.
Oh, fuck. Here, actually, before we tip on there to the next beers, DJ, you produced a little song early on in the week about cans. So we might just snip that into this episode before we go to the ad. So some of our listeners you'll definitely hear DJ doing a song, but some of you may hear an ad promoting some shite. You might need her, might need. All right.
And in the meantime, if I don't disconnect my microphone, you might also hear me go for a quick piss.
Cool.
In Ballywater.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Voluma XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Send in the cans. Those tasty, tasty cans. Send in the pale ales and porters and stouts. The cans. Send in the cans.
And we're back in the room. It's been a long time since we've kind of gone for piss breaks and stuff, really, isn't it? Like, we normally kind of blend in and blend out.
Our bladders are failing.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so we're on to our third beer, or I suppose maybe your third beer, but our fifth beer overall. So DJ, what's your beer and what's your county?
So I started off on the west coast in Kerry in the southwest, in the most southwesterly county, and then I moved to the most southeasterly county of Waterford. So I'm going to move up a notch to Wexford, and then It's a brewery synonymous with the Snowcast, really. Been almost an ever-present throughout the different phases of the Snowcast over the last couple of years. So I've gone for a yellow belly. I like with Wexford, we went for yellow belly because we just feel like yellow belly have been so good to us, we had to include them in this little series. And it's a beer that I've gone for a beer that Yellow Belly brought out as a limited edition beer a number of years ago. And now I think they've reintroduced it. And I don't think they've reintroduced it as a staple, but they have made a good bit of it that, like, you know, it's been on the go now for a couple of months and just trying to get stocks of it around Waterford anyway. And it's the Strawberry Sour Grape for the Town, which I think featured on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, but I said, fuck it, we'll bring it back for a number of reasons. The first thing is it's a great, great fucking beer. And strawberries and a nice sour, you think ideal for summer, but actually it's a lovely fucking quencher, you know. It's a really, really nice drink, and I think it does have that omni seasonality about it. A really, really nice beer, and it goes down really well. Like it's top notch. It's only 4.2%, and yeah, they do. They use a nice blend of malts there, and it's not too hoppy. But also, there is like, the strawberries don't dominate it. You know, there's a nice, similar enough to Castaway, where the passion fruit isn't overwhelming. just like this, the strawberries aren't overwhelming in this, because like the strawberry sour, you could think like that could be quite sickly or it could be a bit fucking unpleasant. Not at all. Really nice to drink. And I also think as well, right, when we're trying to mention like place names and talk about the localities of each brewery and give a little bit of background into the area in Ireland, you know, obviously Yellow Belly as a brewery has a really interesting name, in that like Wexford are called the Yellow Bellies. The Wexford hurling team are called the Yellow Bellies, and that's where Yellow Belly, the character, gets his name from. And on this can, the grade for the town can, the Yellow Belly character has a Wexford hurling and Gaelic football jersey on. He has like a later iteration of the jersey where he's got like purple sleeves and just the yellow torso. But they got the Yellow Belly nickname because their jerseys used to have, back when the GAA was in its infancy in the early 20th century, they used to have like basically a big, huge purple stripe from the neck down to below the chest. And then basically the area that would cover the belly was a yellow stripe. And then it was purple again down the waist. So they became the Yellow Bellies. So that's a bit of, that's basically how the brewery and the character of the Yellow Belly got the name. And again, I was like, right, when we decided to do this, and rather than like, you know, ask random questions to each other or have topics or whatever, we'd actually, the topics itself would be the counties themselves, as well as the breweries and the beers. Strawberry sour. No matter where you go in Ireland, it would appear, no matter what road you're on, whether you're on the N1, the N17, like this famous road from the Saw Doctor song, the N25, the road from Waterford to New Ross in Wexford that brings you into Wexford, or whether you're on the N70 million, you will come across a young lad in transition year on the side of the road selling Wexford strawberries. No matter what road you are on in the country, there'll be a young lad in transition year, or a young one in transition year, on their phone, ignoring you,
yeah,
half telling you what the price of a packet of strawberries are if you pull over. All year round. Fucking 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they'll be selling them strawberries on the side of the road. And I just think, like, you know, Yellow Belly have such a fucking vast array and great selection. Their staples are all brilliant. Talking about bridging beers, Keller beer is the absolute ultimate beer to transition from drinking macro lagers that would be synonymous with the you know, Irish middle-aged male drinker, to independent craft brewing. And then Citra Pale Ale, it's one fucking world beer of the year. It's top notch. Like, their staples, Castaway is possibly your favorite beer. Like, their staple beers are so good. And then they bring out so many limited edition beers. Like, it's an absolute fucking treat. And Declan Nixon, their head brewer, is a fucking genius. But I just think, in all, for the purpose of what this Candemic series is, to talk about the culture and history and of a region, and to talk about the beer that you have, the Great for the Town Yellow Belly Strawberry Sour just encapsulates that entire concept so well. Because the nuance, background bits, the little smallest sort of these, in the name of the beer, style of the beer, and the name of the character, the name of the brewery, and the story. It like coming back to Bjorkirk Aquina and Bailagh Infinity, again, back in Kerry to the first beer, that storytelling behind the beer is just runs through it all. It's fucking quality.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, DJ, with the fact, just to reiterate, I suppose, the reason we're doing this Candemic series is this isn't 32 beer reviews per se. This is 32 celebrations of breweries and 32 celebrations of Ireland and like what, and Irish people, of what they have done in the breweries in brewing these like magic little things. And we could have picked like down in Waterford, we have nearly all a selection of all of the yellow belly beers that are available at one time. Like they're nearly between all the off licenses we went to today, you'd nearly get the whole selection of what's available. So we could have picked any of them up, and it's probably testament to what yellow belly do that the effort that is put into each and every single one of those beers is like amazing. Like from the beer itself, between the ingredients that are put into it, the genius behind it, like we've spoken so highly before of them, of the like sunshine and showers, and what was the super split one, super soaker, how like that just wanted to be tasted like a super split, and like actually achieving that, like insane. Between my love of Castaway, between your what you're saying about Citra, Keller beer, like the stuff that they put into the beer is unbelievable. So from the beer itself, and then going on to the can, the artwork on it is amazing. Like I was just talking like to Kira over dinner there, and she was saying like that the boundary can that I had, like she was like, I love that can, that is so cool. It's like literally just like paintbrush strokes like across the front of the can, different kind of shades, like, you know, and it's a really, really good looking can. And she was saying like, oh, like beer can artwork has come on so much over the years and stuff, and that like it's really an art in itself, and like no more so than yellow belly like for what they've achieved in with Paul. Like that's it's insane that the stuff that they're producing for those cans, and like the detail that goes in, like to the jersey and everything for them, and that it's fucking amazing. Like
I'm just looking at it now, and people might know, but like Wexford haven't won the All-Ireland hurling title since 1996, and that was like a fucking massive moment for Wexford people, and like there were songs written about that, like Dancing at the Crossroads. And
I was dancing at the crossroads.
Yeah, and like that, like we both have family in Wexford and Camboyle, and like, you know, what that meant culturally for a place like Wexford, you know, a county that has been in, that really is like almost like a forgotten part of Ireland at times when you look at the bigger picture stuff, like and just yellow belly the character in this, he has a hurl in one hand, a box of Wexford strawberries in the other, and he has a golden medal around his neck, and it's a purple ribbon holding a golden medal, a yellow golden medal that just had 96 written on it. And then it's just the attention to detail, like you said, everything that's gone into this can, be it from a beer point of view, from a design point of view, is like really well thought out. And yeah, I couldn't speak highly enough of it. So Owen.
Yep.
Five down. What's the sixth Snowcast can of the Candemic, and what is your third drink?
So I am now on, so representing County Cavan is Ballykilcavan. Actually, what happened beforehand, I kind of forgot that this was representing Cavan, so I had a few facts about Laois lined up. And then, so,
before you go on, right, because I'm going to take Laois at a later date because I married a girl from Laois. I said to Niamh earlier on before we came on, I said, have you any like Laois folklore or interesting facts about Laois or anything? And she just looked at me and said, no.
And in my research of facts about Laois, I can agree with her sentiment there. But anyway, what I am drinking by Ballykilcavan is the Brickyard Red Ale.
Ooh.
And I tell you what, right? So I would never, ever, ever have been a red ale drinker, right? And I think the first time I had a red ale, and I was just like, fuck me, this is different, this is delicious, and this is like something that I could see drinking. Now I haven't ever kind of like ventured down that route, but it's not something that I'd ever shy away from ever again. Like it's like they're such a fucking tasty beer. But this is probably the first one since I had that one that changed my mind. So the one that changed my mind was when we interviewed Jared Costello and we had Costello, and fuck me. Now, maybe we might have been a bit tainted there because we were drinking it right out of the fucking...
out of the vat, like.
Out of the vat. But that was amazing. But the next one that has turned my mind is this. This is fucking delicious. It is like really a beautiful, beautiful, like malty taste, kind of toffee or like kind of like caramelly kind of, really kind of stickiness to it. Like it's lovely. Like goes down real smooth. I've actually kind of nearly necked the thing. But yeah, fair play to the Cavan.
Speaking of Ballykilcavan, have you any before I go on to that, I just want to talk about Red Ales for a second. I think you hit the nail on the head there. Like it is the malt for me that makes the Red Ale, and there has to be this kind of sweetie toffee like borderline caramelly like feature to it for it to be a knockout Red Ale. Like I think Ballykilcavan, they do really good Red Ales. It's a lovely style. Like even like in fairness, Smithwick's is a fucking really easy drink to drink. Like, you know, I think you can never go wrong if you're in a pub and you're not sure what the Guinness is going to be like and you don't offer local independent beer. Like Smithwick's will see you through the night and it'll be easy to drink and you'll get through it. But you're dead right. Did you find any random shit out about Cavan? Did you
really? I had a bit, but there wasn't anything as amazing as some of the other things. But actually, what I want to do first is I just want to talk about Ballykilcavan itself. Like, we've said it before on the podcast, but like, shout out to them. Like, that is a farm which has gone through 13 generations of like family, right? That is insane. And like, you know, it's one thing to keep that farm going. I'm sure they're not the only farm in the country that has gone through 13 generations of the family. But to actually think of, I can't remember this. What's the name? Is it David? No, what's the name of the son in Ballycavan?
Oh, my fucking mind is gone now. I can't think of him, but I can picture him.
Yeah, but anyway, like, you know, having you know, farmed the land for a while and like knowing that growing the barley alone wasn't going to be enough for him, enough like financially and enough for him, I suppose, kind of like just out of interest really, was to create a brewery on the site. Like, I think that is absolutely amazing. Like, you know, and now they've partnered up with Waterford Distillery and are providing the grain for them for the whiskey. So like I think that is like so cool. And like, I know we probably shouldn't be delving into the whiskey, but like, the amount of data and stuff that Waterford Distillery are being able to collect in terms of like time it was harvested, what the weather was like, what the soil pH is, like it's insane the amount of stuff that you can get. I think you can either scan or you can like give a code in from the back of your Waterford Distillery bottle. Darren, you have one anyway.
I actually have one in Ballykilcavan's one.
Yeah.
So like, because it was so the bottle I got was actually a gift from our work colleagues for the wedding, and because I was marrying someone from Naois, they found a bottle of Waterford Distillery whiskey that had originated from a field in Naois, and it's one of the Ballykilcavan ones. And like, I haven't tried it, I haven't drank any of the whiskey yet, because I'm like, I don't want to open a bottle that's sacred on my own here. I was full intent on opening a couple of weeks ago after we finished recording the last time, and I was like, fuck that, no. Like, when I actually went to open it, I was like, why am I going to open this amazing bottle on my own here? like after we've recorded and the call has ended and we're not talking to each other. Like, I'm not going to drink this amazing whiskey on my own. I'm going to wait until like friends around and share the experience with them and the smell and taste and shit like that. So yeah, I do. Fun fact about Cavan that may or may not be true, but I'm fairly certain it is, and I'm going to say this with authority as if it absolutely is true. That, Cavan has so many lakes in it that more of County Cavan is lakes than land.
Wow, that is a cool fact.
I don't know if it's true. I think it's true. And we're going to say it's true.
My little story about Cavan was that the year was... I would say the year was 1998, I'd say. And I wanted this, it was like a Micro Machines transformable truck. No, transformable kind of van thing for Christmas. So it was this van that the sides of it flipped open. And that inside of the van, there was like a city that you could have your little cars kind of like, you know, like Micro Machines, kind of like little Hot Wheels thing that you could have that. And then I wanted that like so much. It was one of those things where like it was on either like the ads during the Den or like Nickelodeon or something like that, that like absolute, like, you know, it was probably one of those things where it was probably like a week before Christmas and like this ad came on and I was like, oh Santa, I'd like that now. Like, you know, I'm fucking head down, putting on the list, scrap everything else. Like, and like, I wouldn't say if it was a bowel child or anything like, or like, I wouldn't say I would have thrown a tantrum or anything like that. I was actually quite gullible. Like, so if my parents were saying, would have said like, oh, you know, Santa's after running out of wheels or something, like, I probably would have believed it, you know. But anyway, the parents, as good as gold as they are, had to drive to Cavan because they rang a time master in Cavan. They rang a time master in every county in Ireland and they only had one in Cavan left. So my parents drove to Cavan in order to get this for Christmas for me. That's the story.
I hope you still have it.
I actually think I do. I think it's still up in my parents' attic. I remember I brought it into like show and tell or something into school in like third class or one of those, you know, one of those days when you're allowed bringing your toys, like, you know, Easter holidays or something like that. Like, yeah. But yeah, I remember the whole class was like around and they were like, "You fucking lucky bastard. Where'd you get this, you? You sad bastard."
top notch.
So we're on to round four, and what are you on? I want Cana and County.
I'm gonna continue my trends from earlier. So I started off southwest. And I was at Kerry, and then I moved across southeast to Waterford, and then from southeast I moved up to Wexford, in this kind of southeast east. So I'm moving back across now to Galway.
Oh.
And I'm on the Galway Bay Brewery, buried at sea.
So oh, nice. That's really interesting. Stout, is it?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's really interesting that we were like stout and porter season, baby. We're going to be fucking banging out stouts. First stout we featured.
I know, yeah.
Is Beer 7. But it's a milk stout. It's buried at sea from Galway Bay. And it's a fucking, it's a delicious, delicious stout. Really, really fucking good. Like the Galway Bay Brewery has been going a good while now. They're like one of the older craft breweries that came from the last recession, I believe. It's like a fucking 2009 they opened up. And this Galway Bay is a 4.5% milk stout. So they put lactose in it. I know that lactose is a controversial ingredient in the beer world, but I don't mind it in a stout. I think like we've had lactose in like milkshake IPAs and stuff like that. That again is contentious, and I know you're a fan of a lot of them. And other people would say lactose belongs nowhere near a beer. But I think with a milk stout, obviously that's the fucking function of it. Like, and some of these milk stouts are delicious, and this is definitely up there. It's a really, really good, it's a really, really good stout. And what strikes me about the beer, first of all, is the smell. It's a real earthy, smoky kind of smell. And you get that kind of burnt coffee bean almost. Like, so when I open the can, you know, you have the little bit of I'm showing on the camera now, you get the little bit of residue around the can opening and stuff like that. And it fills into that little nook between the top of the can, the lid, and the overage to hold the little seepings. So, you know, when you open the can and that kind of pours out a bit, and you just like give the little sip of that. It's really like when you get the small little bit of it in your mouth and on your tongue, you get that burnt, real like burnt coffee bean kind of taste. But then when you pour it out, it's a much less bitter taste and experience when you're drinking the can from the glass a bit more, and it's a lot more kind of less in your face coffee, more smoky-ish, and kind of little bits of sweetness. A really, really nice drink. A cool can, actually, buried at sea. There's just a heap of like whales on the can. It's orange. It's just a bit out there. It's a bit different. It's really, really cool. And yeah, Galway Bay Brewery, like a really good brewery. We don't get them on draft much, so they haven't really featured on the podcast before. But like, definitely a beer that I've come across from drinking cans and drinking bottles the odd time. And you know, they're obviously really popular around here, because they like, you see Galway Bay cans and beers in you know, I got this can today in O'Brien's in Arkeen, which is another really good off license we haven't mentioned before on the podcast. You can find Galway Bay stuff in Worldwide Wines and Arkeen stores, which that tells me it's a really good brewery, because it's very popular, because all of the main off licenses in Waterford have it. So yeah, I made up with it. So a good beer, good brewery, one that's very, very popular. And speaking of Galway, I was like, wait, what the fuck am I going to say about Galway? Because, you know, like, I've been to Galway quite recently, and like, it's a really historic part of the country. A lot of people in Galway speak Irish, and I was like, will I tie this back to the Gaeltacht earlier? And I thought, no, I'd be just fucking annoying everyone out, overloading with Irish and stuff like that, even though we should all be speaking Irish, but that's neither here nor there. But, right, couple of interesting facts about Galway. In 1477, Christopher Columbus actually visited Galway. And he actually documented it in his copy of Imago Mundi, where he like traveled the world and documented a lot of it. Genoa in Italy, where Columbus was from, actually presented a memorial to the people of Galway to commemorate the visit. And it's actually believed that in the St. Nicholas's Collegiate Church, which is the Church of Ireland church now, it's this big, massive medieval parish church in Ireland that's still regularly used. It's believed that he visited this church when he was here. Like, there's documentations of him praying in this gap, which is all a bit mad. But also, there's, do you know the word lynch, like for a lynching?
Yeah.
So that originated in Galway, apparently.
Really? So, fella Lynch?
Yeah. So there was a chap, right? He was the son of the mayor, James Lynch Fitzstephen. And apparently he jibbed this Spanish lad in medieval Galway. And like, Galway had like wicked strong trading links with Spain back in the medieval times. And they used to love sailing up there on the boat and all that. And they had a row over a woman. And I say the woman now was like this, going to go for the Spanish fella instead of some Lynch Fitzstephen fella from Galway, you know. I'd say she was looking for a bit of an exotic olive skinned mandarin eating Spaniard. So basically he killed this chap anyway, and ultimately the old lad was so embarrassed, like they couldn't find a jury that would convict him by all accounts. So the old lad was so furious, he just executed the old son himself. He lynched him. So that's where lynching comes from.
Cool. That's a really cool fact.
I don't know, is it a fact though? Because apparently, like, you know, obviously lynching has like a lot of racial connotations, And there was a General William Lynch in the US in Virginia who used to apparently, unfortunately, dispose of different people of different ethnicities as well. So there's like reports that that's the origin of the word lynching, which is a horrible word because of the racial connotations. But people of Galway maintain that it was James Lynch Fitzstevens was the first man to be lynched by his outlet.
That's a cool one. Fucking,
I love these stories that are completely fucking possibly like not even real that we're just coming up with for these places.
Sure, it's the entire basis of Blind Boys podcast, really, like just these absolute nonsensical stories that have some sliver of truth that we're claiming as our own. I love it though.
Oh, it's what we're all about.
That's what we're all about. That's what we're all about. Cool. So, you're finished talking about Ungalliv, are you?
Yeah, like, I mean, there's plenty to say about Galway, but fuck it. People have listened to us long enough. Let's get on to the last beer and have a bit of crack, and then we let them go and we get pissed ourselves.
Yeah, no, in fairness though, that was like a really cool, like, as you said, the Galway Bay Brewery and stuff, like such a cool spot. They're based out in Salt Hill, isn't it? I think it's Salt Hill they could be based out of, because I was on a stag there and I was going to organize a trip out to Galway Bay, I think, for a beer tasting, and I ended up maybe it wasn't
Oran Mór there, in isn't it?
What?
They're in Oran Mór, just
they're in Oran Mór. Maybe it's Galway Hooker.
Galway Hooker, you might be thinking of.
Yeah, maybe they're in.
Or maybe you're on a stag. I'm only talking about hookers now.
You dirty bastard. I was going to organize a trip out to one of these breweries anyway for a beer tasting. Because I was best man and I was organizing the thing. And I said, fuck it. Like, imagine trying to organize lads going into a brewery and getting them back and all that nonsense. You might as well just get them into a pub now.
It'd be one thing if there was a half dozen of you, but when there's fucking 15, 20 lads, fuck that. No points.
Fuck that, yeah. Galway, always a county I loved. And I don't think, again, similar situation to the Kerry story earlier on, or I suppose the anti-version of that story from earlier on, we would have gone as far as Kerry and West Cork when we were younger to go on holidays and stuff, but Galway was just out a bit too far now. Just the roads were just a bit too shite now to be heading down for a bank holiday weekend or anything to go on holidays with the family. So I don't think we appreciated it as much as we should have. But this year now, going to Connemara National Park and all that shit, like, fucking beautiful county, like,
that's incredible, isn't it?
And there's a pile of lakes there as well.
Pile of lakes there as well, and some seriously good thatched pubs as well.
Oh, you can write it down. So for the final can of tonight's part one, I suppose, of the pandemic, I'm going just north of your Wexford, and I'm going to Wicklow. And when you talk of Wicklow in terms of cans, you can only talk about one brewery, really. And because it's just so synonymous with it, and it's Wicklow Wolf. And I'm on a Wicklow Wolf collab brew with Dot Brewing, and it's called Guardian of the Galaxy. And I tell you what, DJ, you were going on there about Galway. At the start there, when you were going on about Galway, I'd say there was a good 30 seconds where I wasn't listening to you, because I had opened this can, I had taken my first sip, and I was literally about to cut over you because this is so good. Oh, I was fucking, this is delicious, right? No, earlier on I was saying I can't taste beers. I'm not good at tasting beers, right? This has the biggest bang of Terry's chocolate orange off it. And you know how much we love orange chocolate. And this is fucking amazing. Like, so what I really like about this is obviously, again, can is fucking awesome looking. It has like the really cool, like Wicked Wolf have really cool branding in terms of like, it's so consistent. They have like the same wolf. They have the Wicklow Mountains in the background. They have the coloring. They have the silver can. And like, you know, it's a really nice font on it. And like all of the cans, you line them up and they all look similar, but they're also distinct because of like the different coloring of each of them. And this one has, so instead of like the one wolf facing right, and it also has like a mirrored wolf then across from it, and then it has, instead of like kind of like the one color, it has like this kind of like galaxy colors of like purple and pink and dark blue and white and stuff. Yeah, it's really cool. And what I like about it as well is that, again, talking about not knowing a thing about kind of hops and stuff, but so this is a double black IPA. It's an 8%er. So good night, God bless.
You sleep tonight.
And it has Galaxy, Strata, and Comet hops in it, which I thought was really cool because like that kind of like obviously the naming of it, like Guardians of the Galaxy with Galaxy, Strata, and Comet as the hops, I thought was really clever. But yeah, just looking, so it does have blood orange in it. And obviously with that combination, I suppose, of hops, you must get that kind of like chocolatey orange taste. But yeah, oh my God. Really, really good. And in fairness, I again, something that we've spoken about before, but like this kind of collaboration thing with like breweries, like it's so cool. Like, you know, just people kind of sharing ideas, sharing ingredients and everything. Like it's amazing to like just see what they can do and like how much of a kind of a like community effort there is about the whole thing. I said before, I think what the craft beer industry in Ireland has is a 3% of the market is what they're all fighting over. And you know, there's no one trying to become the top dog of the thing. They're all trying to share and they're all trying to get their own little piece of the market and just survive and, you know, do their best and enjoy what they're doing. And yeah, these kind of collaboration brews is fucking class. Like,
yeah, well, like I 100% agree. And that's a can that, like, you know, it's one of those where if we call into the plinth during the week and there's a few more left, I'm going to pick it up for myself.
Definitely. Because
obviously, like, the thing here is you can't be bringing like fucking 42 cans home each week and drinking each other, the cans the other person's tasting as well. So, like, definitely going to keep an eye out for that one and try and pick one up for myself because it sounds incredible. What Wicklow related trivia have you for us?
So I was looking up just a few kind of stories about Wicklow, and then there was one I found out that there's a rumor that that there is gold to be found in the Wicklow Mountains. So that basically there's a story that a shepherd who was looking after some sheep on the mountain, he went for a bit of a drink, and he had a tin cup with him. And when he put the cup into the stream and he lifted up to his lips, he took a peek in and he saw a bit of sparkle in the cup, like. So then he got a load of the stuff and he brought it down to the village and they were saying, yeah, it's pure gold or whatever. But the thing about it is that people are still kind of anticipating that there's a mother load of gold to be found in the Wicklow Mountains. And there has been actually gold has been found in the rivers and streams of the Wicklow Mountains over the years. And there has been a few other stories as well about a teacher who used to be kind of like down and out in Wicklow, and he was teaching pupils, but he used to be going off to the river doing a bit of fishing or something. But he used to always bring a stick with him, and pupils kind of used to take the piss out of him for he's always been like they're poking stones, or I think they were taking the piss out of him for trying to catch fish with a stick. This kind of worn out teacher one day like shows up with like new suit and all this kind of stuff. So they all say that he's after finding gold and stuff. But yeah, I thought that was kind of like an interesting story about Wicklow that you wouldn't have heard before.
I look forward to the new 2021 Wicklow Wolf can range that's all gold plated cans.
Gold Rush, yeah, that'll be a good one.
Hey, do you know those like fucking American Gold Rush TV programs on like the History Channel and that? We should get like do the Irish Pickers version of that, but we go off searching for gold in the Wicklow Mountains. That'd be some crack.
That'd be awesome crack, yeah. But yeah, Jesus Christ, man, I've really enjoyed tonight. Like, really enjoyed all the breweries, all the stories, all like just this. As we said at the start, this kind of celebration of Irish brewing, of Irishness, I suppose, in general as well. Like, it's just
I tell you what, right? It's been brilliant, and it's been so educational, such a challenge for us to find the beers, pick the beers, drink them, do a bit of research into the gaff, and just try and just fucking engage in this creative process. It's been great crack, and we're really fucking enjoying it, and we hope that you the listener is too. So like, if you want to support this, keep this on the road, and make this better, like, you know, try and fucking get us doing more. You can support us www.patreon.com/Snowcast. You can support us on social media at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're Snowcast and all those. Like, fucking engage with us, support us, and pass the podcast on to someone else. Just let someone else know about the podcast. If you have a friend who's into beer, who likes beer, or who you think would actually fucking love to hear some of our nonsense chats, pass it on to them. This is great. I'm fucking loving this. I'm already raring to go for next week's pandemic. I actually have 3 of my beers here. That I'm going to be drinking next week. I'm not going to drink them tonight because actually I've got a sneaky second bottle of Bale Bourne. So as soon as we log off recording, I'm going fucking tucking into that bastard here for a chat with yourself, Owen. And like, listen, this I'm buzzing about this idea, and it's this kind of thing, right? If we don't gain any new listeners, or we lose listeners doing this or whatever, I don't give a fuck, because I've had such a good time. Like, this is going to be a brilliant month for drinking beer.
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah, and I think, you've really spoken the message there that we do want to do this, and our ultimate aim, if there wasn't a big pandemic, would be to go around and drink in each of the pubs that are serving, or go to the breweries that are making. And that is the ultimate goal, to kind of go around and expand, and to go and have a drink with G as well. Like, you know, like that's what we want to do. Like, you know, and we've been tied up, but we're actually trying to free ourselves a bit more to be able to do these kind of things. And it's through your support that we're able to do these kind of things and take a bit of time off and go and do these things and you know, collaborate with people. It's been such a great experience so far, and really excited about like this little series as well.
So, for me, like, I was kind of like, I've loved every podcast we've ever done. For the last couple of weeks, I was really straining to think, like, how can we go on this week now and talk about fucking the pandemic again and about the pubs and all that? So the Candemic series for me is like fucking really invigorated me podcast wise. Like, I'm like raring for these. Like, I felt like I've had so much more fucking energy to give to this podcast than I have in a long while. So I already can't wait for next next week when we record the next one, and to go, and like what I'm really looking forward to is not next week or the week after, but the fourth week when we're fucking really, like when we've dug deep to find beer from other counties, like, and taste other beers that we would never have tasted before or never would have done if we didn't just fucking try and make this accomplishment of drinking a beer from every county in Ireland, bar obviously Cavan and Armagh, but we'll fucking, but again, we found creative solutions around that, so that's brilliant.
And just to reiterate again that we are going to be struggling coming the last week or the last 2 weeks, so please, please, please send in your suggestions, or if you know anybody, or if you're a brewer and you want to feature on a podcast, we will drink anything from a county. So please put it in. Even if you're a small brewer and like you're in Dublin, we will probably fucking drink you.
Yeah, just pretend you're from Tyrone or Fermanagh.
Yeah.
Just ring us with a Fermanagh accent and we'll fucking take it on. Listen, lads, that's been brilliant. It's been great to have a bit of Irish and start the podcast and everything. I really fucking love this. We're signing out now, and I'm going to talk into some more Bail Barnoffs, Cogarina, Guntakiri, but Amila Mahogal Galair, Slán the Fall, or the Slán Shadid Galair.
Slán Shadid.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.